And this morning, we are getting ready and gearing up. This month is the month that we celebrate fathers, right? Last month, we celebrated our moms, and we're thankful for them. If I didn't have a mom, I would not be here, right? biologically speaking. And if I did not have a dad, I would not be here either. On Father's Day, we're going to have our missionary, as I shared, Brad Hunt, and he's going to be sharing about the powerful work that God is doing around the world, and he's pouring into pastors who will be father figures, amen? Those that are mentoring young Christians, kind of like Kristen was doing just there, right? Mentoring people into the faith, and fathers, spiritual fathers, that are being raised up in India. And so I'm excited to hear from Brad. Today, I really feel like this is a father's sermon. Now, if you're not a dad, don't check out, okay? Again, I believe that Caleb can be an inspiration to all of us, not just us as fathers. But we're in the Joshua series, and how many of you have read the Bible in a year or attempted to read the Bible in a year? Okay, so again, I'm going through canonically, right? That means I start with Genesis and go to Revelation and way past Joshua, but I read Joshua again and again as I'm preparing my message for you today. And there are, let's admit, right? There are some passages in the Bible that are a little harder to read than others, right? Especially when it says, this person begat this person, and this person begat this person, and then it divides the land, and you got all this land that you probably can't pronounce. And there are times where you're like, I think I'm going to skip over a couple chapters. Right? In these chapters, after Joshua chapter 11, there starts this dividing of land, and it can be a tough read, okay, because of all the Jewish names and towns, but remember how vital this is to the Jewish people, and how it contains their ancestry, their family. How many people nowadays are going on Ancestry.com and doing blood tests to find where their heritage is, right? To fill in their family tree. And so they're very interested in their ancestry and how much they are of this. And how many of us, right? We have a lot of a mixed background, right? Like I have Irish, I have English, I have Scottish, I have, my mom always used to call us Dutchy. Okay, but it was Pennsylvania Dutch and all this kind of stuff. So I'm a mixture of a lot of different nations, right? And so Natalie's interested in sometime doing that and getting the Ancestry.com. But it's an interesting thing to know where you come from. And it's an interesting, even from a Christian perspective, it's important for us to know the Jewish tribes and where they came from. But today, I'm going to preach about, I was mining through these names and mining through these chapters, and it came upon a gold nugget that I want to share with you today. Again, I encourage you to read through those, and don't read through them like this, okay? Read through them actively, if you have to stand up, if you have to listen on your iPhone, whatever you need to do, but all Scripture is God's Word and inspired, right? And so, we're going to jump into the life of Caleb. And Caleb in Joshua 14 will come and he presents himself to Joshua, okay? And Caleb's a really interesting person in the Bible because Caleb really doesn't get a lot of limelight. Though Joshua and him were the faithful spies that spied out the land, right? The promised land. And the only two spies that came back with a good report. Caleb doesn't really get a lot of time in the Bible. There's not a whole book named Caleb, okay? There's a whole book named Joshua. I wonder how, you know, you're kind of thinking through this. I wonder how Caleb felt at times. Here, his fellow spy is the leader of Israel, and Caleb is not. But that doesn't mean that Caleb is not worth following. It doesn't mean that he isn't an awesome man of God that we can even pattern our lives after. He's a great man of faith. He's a great man of faith. And here in this time when the land was being distributed, we see Caleb speak up. In Joshua 14, Caleb makes this awesome speech, and it's not only worth listening to, like I shared, it's worth patterning our lives after. So Caleb begins in verse 6, he says, "You," speaking to Joshua, "know that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart." My first question to you this morning is this: what's in your heart? What's in your heart? This isn't a Capital One commercial, right? What's in your wallet? No, seriously, what is in your heart? What's in your heart? Caleb, he gives this word that's not only in his heart, but he is full of heart. He's full of courage. He's full of faith. He says, "We can take this mountain." Let me tell you, God is looking for warriors, men and women, warriors for God. Those that believe God for the impossible. And Caleb was one of these people. Will you be a father figure as we think on Father's Day in the month, this month, that will inspire courage and strength? This is the first point this morning. Another question I have for you is, how will you respond to the buts? Now, again, I'm not referring to someone's rear. I'm referring to excuses. How, again, remember when Joshua and Caleb went to the people with a good report that they said, "But we can't do this. We can't do this because of blah, blah, blah," right? When they say the enemy's too big, but we're only grasshoppers in comparison to them. But I either think of common excuses now for doing the work of God. But I don't have enough money. But I'm afraid. But it's too hard. But I have other obligations. I remember about 13 years ago, I got a magazine like this from Teen Mania Global Expeditions. And when I got that magazine, I hadn't gotten it for a few years. In fact, I don't know how they got my current address that I lived at the time. And I received their magazine. And on the magazine, it shares things like this, that over 67,783 missionaries, so almost 68,000 teenagers and adults through Teen Mania, had gone and impacted over 1.3 million people. And I was one of those that went with them. And it reminded me of what God did in those times. And it reminded me, but one of the things that it said on it was, "Get off your butt," B-U-T, your excuses. "But I can't go on a mission trip because of this. I can't go on a mission trip because of that." And it had this leather couch on the picture. And it was funny because I was sitting on my own leather couch. And it looked a lot like that couch that I saw in the magazine. And the Lord was using this magazine to point me back to missions. And you know what? It was not an easy call. Some people would say, "Well, Pastor John, you know, I know you've been on mission trips and stuff like that, but it's hard for me. You know, I've got a family, I've got this, I've got that." I understand. Well, I will tell you this, that it was this time in my life where God was not only calling me to go on a mission trip, but he was calling me to quit my job and go to AGTS as a full-time student once again and to pursue my master's. It was that same summer that I would leave my source of income and leap out to go on a two-month trip to Romania and then come back and get a smaller place, get an apartment, and be able to pursue my master's. I wasn't just taking a leap of faith to go on my mission trip. I was taking a leap of faith to go into my master's and to study God's word and to do what he was calling me to do to get higher education. And some people know how that is, right? Where you sacrifice to take those leaps of faith to go further where God is directing you. And it costs something, and it's a challenge. But that's where faith comes in, right? That when I take this leap of faith, I know that the Lord is going to supply. I know that he is going to show up in so many ways. I don't have this in my sermon, but I was getting ready to go into seminary. I had called a guy to be my roommate. and we had gotten an apartment. It was a 2-bedroom apartment, and I'm getting ready to go back now. This is fast forward a little bit, but I'm getting ready to go, and he goes, I go to the apartment, and I put down my deposit, and the lady says, well, he hasn't put down his deposit yet. And so I called him up. I'm like, hey, man, so you're coming to town soon, right? In a couple weeks, you're coming into Springfield, Missouri. Oh, no, I decided not to go to AGTS. You committed with me. Like, we got an apartment together. Half of my living expense is paid by you. What? And he said, no, you know, I'm not going anymore. So I had to call up immediately the lady and say, listen, I'm not going to be able to afford this apartment because it's now twice the amount that I was planning on. And here I am. I'm stepping out in God's will and all this kind of stuff. Well, I call a friend of mine and I say, listen, I have nowhere to live. And I believe God's calling me to continue on at AGTS. And he said, well, why don't you come here and why don't you stay here for a while you figure things out? And so I stayed there, and I continued to pray. I'm like, God, I need you to bring me a roommate. I need you to bring me a roommate. And I keep on praying. And this friend's name is Phil, and he said, you know what? He had just gotten married too. He had just gotten married, and they had a room. And he said, I'd like you to stay here until you need to leave. And completely opened up his home to me. And so just God miraculously provided. He miraculously provided. And it looked bad at a certain point. It looked like, where is the provision of God? Because just half of it left with that guy that never came back to AGTS and didn't even have the good character to let me know and let the apartment complex know. But God provided. And I have seen over and over again where I've taken leaps of faith in my life, and God has shown up. And sometimes it's in creative ways. Sometimes it's in different ways that we never expect. Sometimes it's through friends. Sometimes it's through different relationships and different connections. But God has shown up, and it's clearly been Him. It's clearly been the Lord. And so here we have, again, Joshua, and Joshua continues his speech, right? So let's go back into his speech. He says, but my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Please don't misunderstand me here. Joshua is not listing excuses or making excuses for himself. He's stating realities. The other spies were the ones making the excuses that they shouldn't take the promised land. Caleb came with a heart of courage. These other spies melted the hearts of the people in fear. Guess what? Your words have power. You can use them to build others up, or you can use them to tear others down. You can paint vision for others that inspire them to take leaps of faith, or you can pull the rug right from underneath them. On the month we celebrate fathers, we're encouraged as men, and us who specifically are fathers, to plant courage in our children's hearts, in our grandchildren's hearts. But sadly, we know a lot of men who have left the scene, who have said, forget it. I'm leaving home, I'm leaving spouse, I'm leaving child, and I'm fleeing the scene. We see that all over America. And we need to pray for these fathers in America. We need to pray for these men that are just leaving and not staying and not being the men that they're called to be. We don't need faithless spies that will rob courage from hearts. We need to be ones that are instilling courage, instilling faith, instilling in others that they can be who God's calling them to be. And this isn't a blame game. It's an encouragement to begin to plant. My wife planted our garden this weekend, and some would say it's too late in the season. But I don't think it's ever too late in the kingdom to start planting. Start planting spiritually today. Start planting courage and strength and faith, not only in your children, but be a spiritual encouragement to coworkers' hearts. Be an encouragement to your friends' hearts. You can mentor. You can inspire right where you are. And don't use the excuse, well, I'm just a realist. No, maybe you're a complainer. Maybe instead of seeing faith, you just see the negative. That's not really how God wants you to be. God wants us to instill faith. It's easy. It's easy. Let me tell you this. It's easy to impart fear. It's easy to be a realist and just be complaining about the world. It's harder to see with the eyes of faith and as somebody that it seems like they're so far gone, but you speak faith into their life. You speak truth into their life. You speak hope into their life. And they can change by the power of Christ. You can mentor. You can inspire. And here Caleb speaks faith, but the people choose to listen to the wrong voice, and it gets them in trouble. In fact, it gets them into 40 years of trouble. 40 years of trouble. Wandering in the wilderness. And guess what? He had to go on the same trip with them. Right? Then we fast forward back to Caleb's speech, and I love this next part. He says, "Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." I don't care what the crowd says. I don't care if no one comes with me. I don't care what they say. I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. I'm going to believe him for the promised land. I'm going to believe him for what he has in store for me. You know who can be the worst stick-in-the-mud people? I'm not talking about our church. Christians. Christians can be the worst stick-in-the-mud people, although they should be the most faith-filled people, although they should be the most inspiring and encouraging and uplifting, not because we're Caleb, okay? Positive, encouraged, uplifting, okay? We're supposed to emulate that, right? We're supposed to be people that show forth that character, right? And again, so don't, you know, I think about it. I would follow an 85-year-old Caleb versus an 85-year-old other spy because he applied the principle of God's word. But guess what? You couldn't follow any other spy other than Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they were dead. They died in their desert experience, never fulfilling the promises of God. My encouragement to you is this. Don't hang around stick-in-the-muds who spend plenty of time doing the wrong thing, going nowhere. Spend time with people of faith that have taken leaps of faith, that have lived for God. And again, it's going to encourage you. It's going to sharpen you. It's going to help you. Now, people are a ministry. And I understand that. But there are times where I go to people because I'm pouring out on them. And then I'm going to people because I want us to mutually fill each other up. And when you're looking to those times, you need to get around some Calebs. Some Calebs who have taken some leaps of faith. Some Calebs who know what it means to say, I believe God. And boom, he did something in my life. He transformed my heart. I'm a new creation because of what he's done in my life. We need to get around those people. And we need to encourage each other. And we need to uplift each other. Caleb was an 85-year-old that had tons of passion for God. And he goes on. Caleb takes God's promises to the bank. And he says this, and he says, "And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." What promises has God made to you? Have you spent enough time in his presence to know the promises that he has for you? If you don't spend time with him, how are you going to hear his promises? It's through saturating in his presence that we hear his promises. It's in saturating in the Holy Spirit and his word that we are able to take those promises and go, I believe. I'm trusting in him. We prayed for youth camp. Teenagers are taking that time allotted for quiet time. And my encouragement is in the midst of that to seek the Lord like you've never sought the Lord before. And say, God, I'm coming expectant to these meetings. I'm coming expectant to this camp. I want you to touch my life in a way that maybe never before has taken place. However you want it, God, speak to my heart. Speak to my life and saturate in that time. Church, what promises has he made to you years ago? Years ago. You need to pull those out and you need to recount them. You need to ask for them again. You need to petition for them again and say, you know what? Moses said this. God said this. His promises are yes and amen. He's the leader of my life. I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ. God promised me the land and the sea. God promised me, and you fill in the blank. What has God promised you? And it might have been years ago. Recount the promises of God. Caleb is approaching his leader Joshua, and he's getting his allotment. What are you expecting to receive? Now, I want you to take your life, and I want you to fast forward 45 years from now. When you're 85, and maybe if you add 45, okay, it's going to be a different number. Okay, but you get the picture, okay? What are you planning on receiving from God, and how are you heading in that direction now? Right? A lot of times we want to be over here in the promise. We want to be over here where we receive from God, but we're over here right now. So what do we need to do to line ourselves up with the promises that we want God to fulfill? Guess what? I hope that I'm not the same person when I'm 40 as when I'm 85. If I am, it means that nothing's happened. Well, except a lot more gray, probably more of this, you know. But I want to be able to have a testimony of that 45 years like I'm talking about with Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb has 45 years that's fast forwarded from the time that he was a spy. And he was planting and he was preparing for what God was going to do in his life. Why does Caleb receive it? You know, we talk a lot about faith in church. Why does Caleb receive it? Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Did you do it halfway? Did you kind of just give him 20%? Did you just kind of give him a little bit? I attended church, God, come on. I did an outreach, you know, once every 5 years. I'm good, God. Or did you wholly follow the Lord with everything that's inside of you? He says, you're going to receive this promise from God. His friend, his mentor, his leader now, Joshua, you're going to receive this promise because you wholly followed the Lord. You wholly followed the Lord. You've been found faithful. You've expounded all your energy for his kingdom purpose. You're wholly devoted to him. You are faithful. Many of you know this, but my son Dylan is named Dylan Jonathan, and his name means faithful gift of God. You see, we're actually prophesying over my son. We're saying you're faithful to God. You are a gift of God, and you're going to be used for his divine purposes. We're believing that. Me and Natalie, we're believing that in your life. We're speaking over your life, even in the meaning of your name. We didn't come upon that name accidentally. Even this spelling, D-I-L-L-O-N, is different than the D-Y-L-A-N. We spelled it D-I-L-L-O-N because that name means faithful. We were very purposeful in all the names that we picked for our kids. You're faithful. How are you speaking over your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives? How are you speaking over your friends' lives, your coworkers' lives, so that you will be able to give a spiritual inheritance forever? Caleb has was acquiring an inheritance, he states, his kids will have forever. He states in verse 10, I love this part. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. How many of us do that on a daily basis? Say, the Lord has kept me alive today. He's kept me alive. I'm breathing because of the Lord. That's the kind of heart he had. Just as he said these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses. When's the last time you shouted that? I'm alive! Isn't that awesome? They might look at you crazy. Okay. Yeah, that's great. I'm breathing too. Get over it. I mean, you know, people want to rain on your parade, but it is okay to be excited about the life God's given you. He is excited over the 85 years that he's been alive. He's excited. He's kept me alive to see this day. Are you excited about living today? Are you excited about living today in a time where the finish line is so close with all of humanity? Where God is bringing everything to a culmination? These are exciting times. No other time in our history has it been so easy to travel to so many nations to preach the good news. No other time in history can we communicate with as much ease through technology across the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it was his birthday because he says, I am this day 85 years old. Happy birthday, Caleb. I am this day 85 years old. I'm still as strong as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and for coming. You know what? That should be our prayer, right? That should be our prayer. I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago. I'm as strong as I was back in my heyday in the great times. I'm as strong. Why? Because the Lord has granted me this strength. He has granted me the heart and the courage. And that's why my heart is strong. Because it beats with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is a great prayer. But it's a declaration. It's a declaration of God's great power exuded through his life. Don't you want this guy on your team? I'd pick Caleb. His faith, his character, and the grace of God that is lavished upon him, it oozes out of him. He's better than 10 guys half his age. Don't you want that said about you? But what did he have? He had a tenacious faith. A faith that endured through adversity of the wilderness and that endured through the conquest of Canaan. Caleb is not without scars. Caleb is not without troubles. Caleb is not without things going wrong. A lot of people are like, well, it's easy for you to have faith because your life's so good, blah, blah, blah. Caleb went through the wilderness with the same people that he told, yes, we can do it. They wanted to kill him. Okay, well, now I'm going to spend 40 years in the wilderness with you. Isn't that awesome? Yet he went through the wilderness, but he still saw the promised land. You may be going through a wilderness right now. You may be going through some hard times where it's not even your fault. You had the faith to believe for something big. You had the character for something good in your life, but you're getting the opposite because of people's choices around you. And you've had to deal with the consequences of drunk drivers. We deal with the consequences of what their decisions that they've made. It's not the fault of the person that got hit. It's the consequence of that sin, of that person's bad choice that has affected the life of that family, the life of those people. You're sometimes facing the choices of other people that are making it hard on your life. But are you going to be a Caleb? And are you going to live what's right, even if you've been affected by consequences of sin from other people around you that haven't lived right? And I'm here to tell you that when you do live right, God rewards that. He rewards that faith. And so this is where the reward comes. Verse 12, so now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified city. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord has said. Do you think that maybe is a mamby-pamby maybe? Do you think that maybe is, I guess it's going to happen. I guess we might win. If you give me this land, I mean, listen, there's still giants up there. And that's still a big fortified city. And really, you're just giving me this in name only. Because you're not really giving me the land. It's still got a bunch of enemies on it. That's not how Caleb reacted, right? Caleb says, perhaps the Lord will give me the victory. But where's the perhaps here? Where's the maybe? Maybe that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out. He is equating two things here. In fact, the Jewish Publication Society uses the translation, if only the Lord is with me. Meaning he is not so full of himself that he just thinks, if I go out there, I'll defeat him. He says, if only God. Because if God goes before me and God spreads it out and I'm obeying him, the walls are going to fall down. Okay? Not Jericho specifically, but something supernatural is going to take place. But it's only if God goes with me. I like spending time with people that have been Christians for a long time because they know it only could have happened because of God. And they could sit down and tell you stories about how it had to be God. I love that. I love that. And he knows this. God wants you and I to be conquerors. And he's looking for men and women who are willing to look at the fortified cities and look at the giants that are in the land and still say, even at 85 years old, God will give me that land. God will give me the insurmountable circumstance and I will be able to go up on that mountain. I will be able to go because my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Right? We teach this to our children. Do we believe it? Do we take it to the bank and go, that's mine. My God's so big. My God is so strong. My God is so mighty. I know he can do it. I know he can do it. I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. I'm jumping for a second to the New Testament, but the famous passage where Peter walks on the water with Jesus. Jesus says, Peter, why did you doubt? And we tend to get on Peter, right? We jump on the bandwagon with Jesus. Oh, man, Peter, you really blew it. I mean, man, you were walking on that water and I hope you don't doubt next time. Have you ever walked on water? This guy has. Peter has. I don't believe Jesus was rebuking Peter and telling him, he's trying to knock him down. His fear was already doing that. His fear was already knocking him down. I believe Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, you can do it. Why did you doubt? Because you can do it. I believe in you. I believe you that you can. Your shadow can hit people and they can be healed. And that will happen. I believe that you can pick up a guy and say, silver or gold have I not, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. All these things Peter would do. And Jesus believes that you can do it too. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we are to be going about doing the work of the Lord and showing people through the power of the cross that he's real. But we need to step out in faith. He doesn't care if you're 85, you can still take down giants. You can still take down fortified cities. I don't just believe you can do it. Jesus believes that you can do it and that your team can do it. So believe it and spur on others to believe. Spur on others to greatness. Give a spiritual inheritance. Maybe some of you look and, you're coming to the golden years, if you will, and you're saying, you know what? I don't have much of an inheritance to give my kids. And it's really frustrating, and it's really, I really wanted to give an inheritance to them. And I feel like I don't have much to give. You give a spiritual inheritance, and it's worth more than silver or gold. It's worth more than silver or gold. You give that spiritual inheritance to them that says God can break through your walls. They're not walls to keep you out. They're not glass ceilings. They're obstacles in Christ that he's called you to burst through, to take the promises of God. And when a man of faith and character like Caleb comes and he presents this request to Joshua, how does Joshua respond? Well, Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. He blessed him. He gave him his blessing. God wants to bless you. He wants to shine his favor upon you as you share the gospel, as you live out your Christian life with him, looking for opportunities to shed the light of Christ into this dark and evil world. And he wants to bless you and inspire you, and then he wants you to do the same. And I love this part. The land was named Kiriath Arba, named after the greatest man among the Anakim, but it would go back to the name it was meant to be, Hebron, the word derived from the Hebrew word friend, describing the patriarch Abraham, who was the friend of God. It was the same place that Caleb would get, where Abraham was buried, where Isaac was buried, where Sarah and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah. Talk about prime real estate. Talk about a holy place where all the patriarchs were. This is the land that Caleb asked for. God was giving back the land that held a lot of meaning. Hebron is also connected with the word Hebrew. It's a connection to God's people. But God wants to bless you, and he wants you to reclaim spiritual territory for yourself, for your family, and for others around you. Jesus calls you by name. He wants to claim you as his own. You're his creation. Maybe there's a person here that you have turn the other way. Maybe you don't swear allegiance to Christ at this time. He's calling you back to him. He's taking back what is his own, but it takes faith and obedience. Would you bow your heads with me? At this time, I want to put forth a call to salvation that the Lord loves you, and he has a purpose and a destiny for you and for your life. And he's saying, listen, look at the life of Caleb. It was a life of faith. It was a life invested in God. And it was amazing what God did in and through his life. And God wants to do amazing things in and through your life. But it comes with saying, I want to obey you and I want to follow you all the days of my life. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you haven't, or you felt like you've turned away from God and you want to pray that prayer, I ask you that you would slip up your hand and I want to pray that prayer with you, saying, Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life. I'm reclaiming ground for you. I want to be a Christian. Thank you for that hand. And I'll just wait another moment. And if that's you and you're saying, I want to again state, God, I'm following you with all my heart. I'm following you with all my heart. And those of you that raise your hand, would you say to him, Lord, I want to follow you. Be the leader of my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you. I'm going to be a committed Christian. Thank you for dying on the cross for me on Calvary and raising from the dead to bring me eternal life. I ask you to come into my heart in Jesus' name. And with heads continue to be bowed, again, maybe this sermon is just to encourage you to be a greater man or woman of faith. That, again, maybe you've got kind of in the mud, or maybe you were in the muck and mire of your situation or what's going on. Would you just acknowledge to him by raising your hand and saying, God, I'm going to be a man or woman of faith. And maybe you've done that for the 20th time. Maybe you've done that for the 30th time, but you're saying, God, and I see those hands. And again, I'm going to be a man of faith. I'm going to be a woman of faith. I'm going to believe you, God, and I'm going to follow after you. And I'm going to invest into others. And I'm going to pour into them like Caleb poured into others. Lord God, I thank you that you see those raised hands, that God, that you hear our prayers, Lord, and that you give us the strength and you give us the unction, and you give us the faith for what we're going to do in and through you. We love you and praise you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, pray for us. I'm getting ready to take the teenagers on Monday to youth camp with Miss Gay. She's going to be coming as well as a counselor, and we're looking forward to it. And keep us in your prayers all week long. God bless you. And if you need any prayer, feel free to come on up to the front. We'd love to pray with you.